Welcome to the Top 8 Movies podcast, presented by Top 8 Media. Every week we share top 8 lists from movie lovers across the globe. We also dive into actors and actresses' top 8 movies according to IMDb scores. And hear many reviews from our resident film reviewer, Mike Morgan, as he reflects on his top 8 films of each of the last 34 years. We have special edition top 8 lists on more specific topics from the movie industry. Send us your top 8 list to be read out on future episodes. Just DM us on Instagram at top_8_media. Thanks for tuning in, and let's crack on with the show. Welcome back, everybody, to Top 8 Movies from Top 8 Media. My name is Owen Morgan, and I'm sat down with Jessica Rose Johnson, and we talk all things movies through the power of Top 8 lists. Well, hey, we've had a couple of weeks off, so we're feeling fresh, sort of. I'm ready to take on some more epic lists. And it's time, guys. It's time to look at comedies. This is complicated, and we'll get to that in a second. So, Jess, are you excited about doing a comedy list? Is it top of the list of genres? What are you thinking?
I think this was a very hard list to make. They're all hard to make. Am I kidding? I think there's so many great comedies, and there's so many different subcategories of comedies too that we could even get into. So I think this is good. I think everyone should enjoy a good comedy, enjoy a good laugh. And I hope that we have some people's favorites that they'll watch time and time again. And if we don't, I would love to hear about which ones that the four lists were missing.
Yeah, so true, so true. And, you know, this is exciting today because it's me and Jess, and Adam is stepping up to play. I know he enjoys his comedy, so we're up against a guy that knows the genre well. So it's going to be interesting. And we're looking at the highest grossing as well. So highest grossing would be actually quite interesting in this case, actually, because there's so many films in the genre. I can't wait to tell you guys what they actually are. So let's just quickly try and explain how this has all come to be, rather than going, what the hell? That's not a, well, this, where's this? So we are calling it traditional comedy. So when there's no rom-coms as such, so kind of they're not in it, the main theme is supposed to be comedic with no other genre underneath it. So they were saying things like Barbie is a comedy and other things like that. We're not including any of that. I don't see that in the same vein as, say, Anchorman or Billy Madison or Team America or Jim Carrey films. You get what I'm saying? So just stick with us. That's what we're saying. So any year in film as well, of course, and film franchises are allowed if four films or less. So I think there's only two franchises in here and they haven't got four films. So we're all good. So let's kick off the show because we're going to try and tighten up the show a little bit, guys. So we're trying a few new things today where we pick three key films that we love. So me, Jess and Adam will pick out three and go into a bit of detail. And the other ones we're very lightly touch on it. So nice and tidy, and hopefully within half an hour for you guys, because I think the average commute is probably half an hour to an hour, so hopefully you'll squeeze the whole thing in before you get to work. That'll be the dream. Right, let's get away from the waffling and let's jump in. So Jess, if I can hand over to you as always to do list A, which is the highest grossing comedies of all time, if you can let everybody know the year and how much it made. Over to you.
All right, here we go. In the number 8 spot, we have Wedding Crashers from 2015, bringing in $288 million. Number 7, Austin Powers, Goldmember from 2002, with $297 million. In the 6th spot, Liar Liar from 1997, with $303 million. In the number 5th spot, Austin Powers again, The Spy Who Shagged Me from 1999, with $314 million. In the 4th spot, Mrs. Doubtfire from 1993, bringing in $441 million. In the 3rd spot, Bruce Almighty from 2003, with $484 million. In the number 2 spot, Meet the Fockers, 2004, bringing in $517 million. And in the number 1 spot, Hangover 1 and 2 from 2009 and 2011, bringing in over $586 million.
Lovely. Thank you very much. And just to quickly mention the Hangover 1 and 2, the 586 is Hangover 1, and Hangover 2 is 586 million, and Hangover 1 actually made less. So I just rounded up to the 586. I just want to put them together because they're both in the top eight, but I just wanted to shine some light on some other films at the same time. So anyway, the Hangover franchise is nailed it. Let's put it that way. So let's have a quick look just at this. So, I mean, my list is pretty good, but this one's actually very good. I think it's probably one of the best A lists I've ever seen for a genre. They're all great. Whether they're in my top eight, you have to wait and see. But just quickly, Wedding Crashers, epic. I mean, the amount of people that say, you know, they've watched it about six or seven times, they'll always return to it, especially if they're having a low day. So, I mean, that's a testament to that it's got that longevity. Two Awesome Powers, I mean, they were classics at the time. I would like to watch them again to see how they've aged and if they're still amusing. So maybe I should. I love Jim Carrey, so Lie Lies, all good. I'm surprised there's only two of his in here, actually. I'm surprised maybe Ace Ventura and Dumb and Dumber didn't make it. Find that interesting. Mrs. Doubtfire, that's just lush because it's such a lovely family film. So I kind of like that because it's for everybody, isn't it? It's not just adult orientated, which is good. Meet the Fockers is awesome. Meet the Parents, I'm surprised that's not in here anyway. And Hangover 1 and 2, at the time, it's like, oh my God, this is like a bit risque, a little bit different, maybe a little bit more hardcore as well. And I think it kickstarted Bradley Cooper's career for sure. I mean, look at him now, unbelievable, directing films like Maestro and just being the most epic director. So, I mean, what a start off that was. That's probably not factual at all. He probably did loads of stuff before that. So my bad. But I think we all know him from that, don't we? So Jess, what do you think? Do you think this is pretty solid?
I don't know if I can say this with certainty, but I feel like this is the first time or one of the very few times that I've actually seen all the movies on the industry list. So that's pretty exciting. And I'd watch them again. So I think they're all great in their own little niche area. And it's kind of a throwback for a lot of these. You know, we're talking about like 1990s, early 2000s. Some movies, so it's some of them are very nostalgic, and I think it's a good list. I think it's hard to go wrong with a comedy because there's so many great comedies.
Yeah, and I think there is slightly different kinds of comedy, so there should be at least one version of comedy that you're going to like that's your thing. You know, some people like sarcastic, don't they? Some people are really silly. Some people might like more wittier scripts. Or it could just be comedic timing. There's all kinds of stuff, isn't it? I mean, a lot of those, there's quite a few silly comedies in there, but they're all pretty well written on the whole, good character driven stuff. So kind of makes sense. There's loads of stuff missing though, which you're going to find out in our lists. So let us know what you think about, if it's, you think that's crazy too. It's bizarre, some stuff I've got that's not there, which is interesting. And not to bore everybody to death, Jess, as we always say, I'm particularly obsessed with periods of time. And I know I've said this loads of times, I'm briefly going to say it. It's prolific in the 90s and early noughties, and then it disappears. Apart from Hangover, it just disappears. What happened to comedy? It's gone. Weird. People aren't going to see the films in the same way, are they? I don't know what that means. So maybe, again, superheroes have taken over everything and all the action films we've seen since. But I'm going to mention it again because it's so clear and obvious to see. All right, guys, let's see if I can show you a better list. Let's see. So this is my list B of my favorite comedy films of all time. And just to acknowledge, it's not my first genre I would pick. I pick it when I just, if I'm low or... Just, you know what I mean? It's not like if I'm going to pick something on a movie night, it wouldn't be comedy. So that's just me. So it was a bit tricky doing this, to be honest, but I'm very proud of it. It's very good. All right, here we go. So I'm going to go through the list quickly, and then I'm going to pick out three key movies and tell you guys a little bit more about it and why I love it so much. So in my eighth place, I've gone super old school. And even though I was 5 years old, I didn't watch it at 5 years old, to be clear. 1988, we have Naked Gun. So very, very silly, very spoofy. In seventh, more spoof action is Airplane, which is amazing. 1980, I did not exist on this planet, and they nailed it. In sixth place is Bridesmaids. So how the hell that's not in the highest grossing, I have no idea. 2011, we have The Mask in fifth place. That's my first Jim Carrey entry. 1994. Oh, my God. Then we've got some more Jim Carrey action. Liar, Liar, 1997. Then in third place, I have Team America. You don't get many films with puppets in these days. I'll talk about it later, even though I'm not supposed to. In second place is Ted in 2012. I love that film so much. And then Anchorman 1 and 2. So chuck a little franchise in there. 2004 and 2013. Insane gap. What the hell? I did not know it was that big. I now feel like we should probably check that, but I'm sure it's fine. So yeah, that is my list, guys. So I'm going to give you a little taste of three of them that I particularly like. But before I do that, I just wanted to acknowledge, I talked about the spoof films. Bridesmaids was awesome because of the all-female-led cast of it. And I think at the time that was quite unique. So it was iconic for that in itself. I love Jim Carrey anyway, so that's why those are in there. And Team America... There's just a couple of scenes in particular. Like, if I watched bits of it back a couple of weeks ago, is aged horribly. It's completely inappropriate. It is probably the opposite of woke you're ever going to find. The soundtrack, I listened to it the other day, soundtrack's so good. And I know it could be offensive, but at the time it kind of worked. But just for the vomit scene, when he's in the bar and he gets drunk and he vomits on the street for about 6-7 minutes, it's the only, as Jess knows, it's the only film in history where I actually weed my pants a little. So what can you do? What can you do? That's got to mean something. So that's in there. But let me actually give you some little cheeky plots and whatnot, should you not know already, which would be surprising. So The Mask, 1994. It has an IMDb rating of 6.9. That seems low to me. Rotten Tomatoes, 80%, nice work, and the audience, 68%. Ouch. It stars Jim Carrey, Cameron Diaz, and Peter Green. So should you not have seen this film, which would be very unusual, I will take you through it. When timid bank clerk Stanley Ipkiss, played by Jim Carrey, discovers a magical mask containing the spirit of the Norse god Loki. Hang on, Loki? Marvel. His entire life changes. While wearing the mask, Ipkiss becomes a supernatural playboy, exuding charm and confidence, which allows him to catch the eye of local nightclub singer Tina Carlisle, played by Cameron Diaz. Unfortunately, under the mask's influence, Ipkiss also robs a bank, which angers junior crime lord Dorian Tyrrell, played by Peter Green, whose goons get blamed for the heist. The overall critic response was... It misses perhaps as often as it hits, but Jim Carrey's manic, bombastic, Cameron Diaz, blousy appeal and the film's overall cartoony bombast. Well, I keep saying bombast all the time. Keeps The Mask afloat. I don't like that critic's response whatsoever, but it's fine. So before I move on to the next one, what are your thoughts on The Mask, Jess, if you've seen it?
I like it. I think it was very unique story, but I'd say it's probably not in like my top 8 Jim Carrey movies though, but I've definitely seen it more than once. So I'm interested in the critiques for a lot of these comedies. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, for me, the only reason I particularly love it as much as I do is because at the time I love this idea of like the other side of us. I think my love of psychology, I just like this idea of like this part of us inside, which if it didn't have insecurity and all this other stuff, what would we do? I think I was kind of hooked in with that as well as the comedy. So at least there's a deep meaning for me to enjoy the movie. And it just, he's incredible. His facial expressions. I used to be really good at too. When I was younger, people like used to call me Jim because that was kind of my comedy. I used to make really stupid noises on the school bus and all that kind of stuff. People loved it. So. Maybe it's a bit of that as well. So yeah, woohoo, Mask. Right, Ted 2012. It has an IMDb rating of 6.9, Rotten Tomatoes 69%, and the audience 73%, so a bit higher on this occasion. And it stars Mark Wahlberg, Mila Kunis, and Seth MacFarlane as Ted the Bear. When John Bennett, played by Mark Wahlberg, was a little boy, he made a wish that Ted, Seth MacFarlane, his beloved teddy bear, would come alive. 30 years later, foul-mouthed Ted is still John's constant companion, much to the chagrin of Laurie, played by Mila Kunis, John's girlfriend. Through Laurie's displeasure is exacerbated, can't say that word, by the pair's constant consumption of beer and weed. She's not the only one who's most disappointed with John. It may take the intervention of John's boyhood toy to help him grow up at last. So I just love it, you know. Foulmouth bear, kind of, you're done. It's enough for a plot, really. And Mark Wahlberg, I love Mark Wahlberg anyway, and I think he's great in comedy. So I just thought, as a sort of bromancy companionship, but not too human, I just thought it was genius. And to have a Miller Kunis character that's a bit like us, going like, "What the hell, man? That's really messed up. How old are you?" I think that is reflective for us. And the critic's comment on it is, Ted's romance versus bromance plot is familiar, but the film's held aloft by the high concept central premise and a very funny, albeit inconsistent, script. Ouch. I think you only need about 50% of good lines to get away with it, so it's fine. So you were sort of giggling away over there, Jess. What are your TED thoughts?
I do love that movie. I think it's so great. I'm thinking of like so many funny lines, like one-liners from that movie, and you know, their epic song together. And I thought it was a great movie. So I'm laughing at just thinking about the movie. Ironically, my husband was not a huge fan of the movie. So I don't know, maybe it's just the style of comedy or something, but I definitely thought it was really good. And the fact that they were able to make a Ted 2, and I still think that movie was also good as well.
Yeah, it's so niche, isn't it? So I think you're either going to be like, this is stupid, or you're in. And that would be very much true for my next film that I'm going to talk about, which is Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy. So this is kind of, I love both of them, just to be clear, but let's cover the first one. So 2004, it has an IMDb rating of 7.1, Rotten Tomatoes 66%, with the audience 86%. That's epic. So well done to them for that. It stars, if you didn't know already, Will Ferrell, Steve Carell, Paul Rudd, and Christina Applegate, just to mention a few. But there's plenty of other people as well. So, hot shot television anchorman Ron Burgundy, Will Ferrell, welcomes upstart reporter Veronica Corningstone, Christina Applegate, into the male-dominated world of the 1970s broadcast news. I'm laughing because I'm remembering scenes already. Oh my God, calm down. That is, until talented female journalist begins to outshine Burgundy on air. Soon he grows jealous, begins a bitter feud with Veronica, and eventually makes a vulgar slip on live TV that ruins his career. However, when an outrageous story breaks it at the San Diego Zoo, Ron may get a chance to redeem himself. Oh my God, it is so good. Critics' opinion? Filled with inspired silliness and quotable lines, Anchorman isn't the most consistent comedy in the world, but Will Ferrell's buffoonish central performance helps keep his portrait of a clueless newsman from going off the rails. Just reading it, I'm just all the scenes. I just love them having to go at each other on live on TV. Just going at it, and it's just brilliant. And even the stuff with the bear in the pit at the end, what was that all about? I just think it's absolute genius, and all four characters in that sort of male group are incredible. Will Ferrell and Steve Carell is also fantastic, and I just think it's immense. And I've even got a tear of joy. So what do you think of Anchorman, Jess? I need to calm down.
One of my favorite scenes is where they do the news battle, and you just have like everybody comes out for that news battle, right? It's just so many people, and the more the different news shows come on, and they come with their like you know, group of people to fight. You're just like, look at all these amazing different comedic actors who just come together for one big scene in that movie. I love it. I think it's great. I think it's very memorable, very quotable movie. And yeah, like you said, the leading force, the dynamics between those four guys is really, really great too. And mind blowing, as you mentioned earlier, that it was, what was it? Almost 10 years or 9 years later when they came out with the second one. And it doesn't feel like that when you watch the movie. So I think that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, as well. And thank you for reminding me of that scene. And the second one, they pay it off again as well with that. And there's even more in that one. You're like, what the hell? What's he doing in this? And I think they attracted even bigger stars. They weren't even comedians just to pull that off. I can imagine TV show channels all hate each other. So it kind of makes sense as well. But yeah, so like, yeah, just my top two, Anchorman 1 and 2 and Ted. I mean, guys, and Team America just behind it. I mean, you know, hopefully Jess will do well, but second place will be absolutely fine by me. But is anything else on that list that strikes you as something you loved, or without giving too much away about your list, obviously?
A lot of great movies for sure. I think that's, like I said, one thing, comedies. There's actually a comedy I was just thinking, I was like, man, I didn't even include that one. And that is definitely one of my favorites. But yeah, all these movies have really great memorable scenes and quotable lines. So I think it's definitely something people can get behind for sure.
Well, we've both been pretty prolific here, haven't we? We've both seen all of what's in A. You've seen 7 of my 8. So yeah, we're prolific movie watchers, if you didn't know already. So, you know, should be proud of that. But when we get back from the break, we will be checking out Jess's top 8 and then Adam's top 8. So let's see if any new stuff. There's plenty of new stuff, guys. So buckle up. It's coming. Okay, and welcome back, guys. We're going to carry on looking at some epic comedy movies, hopefully getting you all excited when you get back tonight to pop one of these guys on for a good old watch this evening. So, Jess, I'll hand over to you. So let us know what you've got in your top 8. This is list C, if anyone should be interested. And I actually forgot to do kind of like films that didn't quite make it. I slipped up there, but you have. So I'll hand over to you and you can show them how it's done.
Which is funny because normally you always have like some really great honorable mentions. So I'm going to mention two. One, Blades of Glory. Love that movie. In fact, I told 3 people about that movie who hadn't seen it in the past couple weeks. So definitely have to mention that. I think it's great. And one, I'm over here just like, unbelievable. I did not include Monty Python and the Holy Grail in my top 8. So have to give it some love because one of my favorite movies. So love it. Not in my top 8. Oh my goodness. But what is in my list? So in my number 8 spot, I have The Office Space from 1999. Number 7, I have Date Night from 2010. Number 6, Step Brothers from 2008. Number 5, Jumanji, really either of them, but I committed to the original from 1995. The number 4, Overboard. Also love both, including the remake, but I went with the original 1987. Number 3, Game Night. Number 2, Bridesmaids. And number 1, Girls Trip from 2017.
Oh, I love that. And I'm excited because the 3 you're going to cover. I haven't seen 2 of them. I know we kind of probably talked about them before, but come on, I'm excited. This is your chance to pitch me 2 of those 3. Let's do this.
Yes. So I'm going to start with my number 8 spot, Office Space. I couldn't leave this one behind. Like I said, it was from 1999. The IMDb score is 7.6. I'm actually pretty surprised by how high the score was, as much as I love this movie. Anybody who has ever worked in an office, if you've seen the TV show The Office, this is like the original Office. So it's about 3 workers that just absolutely and utterly hate their job. They have the really annoying, greedy boss who's always down their backs. And it's what they start doing, kind of rebelling against this office job environment. And it's really cool. It stars Ron Livingston, David Herman, Stephen Root, and AJ Nadeau. Hopefully, that's how you say it. And jumping up to Overboard, I said I went with the original. I saw it when I was younger. Absolutely love it. The original is in 1987. There was a remake in 2018 where they did a gender swap. And that one was also really, really great how it was done. IMDb gave it a 6.9. And it stars Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. It's Goldie Hawn plays this character who she's rich, she lives on a yacht, she's very greedy and bossy. And Kurt Russell comes aboard to make her this beautiful closet, and she doesn't like how it was done. So she throws him kind of overboard. But what ends up happening later is she accidentally is tossed overboard and ends up in the town where she has amnesia. So Kurt Russell's character decides that he's going to get her back and claim her as his wife. So it's a really fun story on how this goes. He goes from being a single father with three boys, basically living it rough, to bringing in this woman who is living on a yacht in this glorious life, bringing her in there as if she's the mother of these three boys and his wife. So a lot of fun. Don't want to spoil it as to what happens when time goes on, but it's a really fun story. My number one though, Girls Trip, if you have not seen it, out of all these movies, I'm sorry, you had a great top eight list, but Girls Trip is definitely number one. So this one, I think it's complete baloney that it only has a 6.2 on IMDb. This movie is amazing. It has Regina Hall, Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Tiffany Haddish. These are four lifelong friends known as the Flossy Posse. And one of their friends is very, very well off. She married, I believe it's a football player. She's very successful. She's on this book tour. And it's during New Orleans. They have this big sisterhood festival going on. So she says, you know what? I want to bring my Flossy Posse back together. You know, the four best friends. And it's their adventure and all of their younger wild sides coming out as each of them are battling something unique in their lives. And I'm just going to say, there's an amazing scene in there where they're in New Orleans and they're drinking and they got to do a zip line. And it does not go so well when someone gets stuck on the zip line. And that scene shows you real friendship, what happens. So if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen the movie, you're gonna have to watch it, and you're just gonna you might pee yourself laughing because it's so freaking good. I've seen it many times, and every time I've seen it, it has some very similar scenes like Bridesmaids, like the dress scene in Bridesmaids. That's what I'm talking about, the zip line scene. It is just as iconic, memorable, and die laughing situation. So how'd I do of those? I know you've seen Office Space, but of Overboard and Girls Trip, I probably have convinced you more so to watch Girls Trip, which is okay, but maybe we'll watch both.
Yeah, you certainly did. It's like my Anchorman one. Like, yeah, that sounds absolutely epic. I don't know how, yeah, this has slipped me by. I like the sort of ensemble cast comedy. So I apologize. I as soon as you said the actors, I was like, oh, have I? No, I haven't. What the hell? So yeah, very well pitched. I will pop it on the list. And Overboard, I'm trying to think. Maybe I would have watched it when I was younger. Yeah, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, because they're married now to this day. They're married. Little fact for you. Got some amazing kids doing really well in the industry as well. So yeah, I think, yeah, Girls Trip. I think I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna go for it. And well. Is there anything else on your list before we move on that you would like to do a little cheeky hello to you?
I think some of these we've talked about before, like game nights. So I think we'll pass it over because I believe a couple of these might show up in Adam's list.
Yes, true, true. And I think he will be diving into some of them as well. So, yeah, I didn't realize if I knew Jumanji was allowed, I might have put it in. So, you know, I slipped up. I slipped up. Step Brothers, Will Ferrell, isn't it? Yeah. So, yeah, definitely would have seen that, which I have. Thing is, you know, you maybe see so many films. It's like, I know I've seen it. Oh, God, maybe I should watch less so I can be clearer on what I've seen. Nah, screw it. I'm watching them all. But yeah, no, I love it. It's so different. All three lists are so different. So, and I'm always going to enjoy that. So I can't wait to see what guys vote for. Because the people that tend to vote on our stuff, I know them all well now, and they surprise me sometimes. I'm like, what? You vote for me? Why? And I'm like, hang on a minute. I should be picking myself up. So it shows I need to have more faith. But yeah, thank you to everybody that listens that votes, because it's fascinating. You always throw curveballs in sometimes. And guess what, Jess? Like you always say, what's the line they always say? They said, well, they had that film, so it would have to win. Every time they had that and the rest of you didn't. So it's very important. It's always one or two films that swing it. So pick wisely when you do these lists, everyone. All right, let's check out Adam's list. So we'll read out the dates as we go. And he's given us a little write-up for three of them, which is really cool. So I'm a bit sad. There's two British films in here, which I love. And I dropped the ball again. So eighth place is Shaun of the Dead, a zombie comedy, absolutely amazing, 2004. There's something about Mary. It's first time here today. Interesting. 1998. Hot Fuzz, which is the same people that made Shaun of the Dead, 2007. They're police officers in a small village in England. Then you've got Tommy Boy, 1995. And we've got Anchorman again, 2004. So that's got a little fourth spot. Billy Madison. So we haven't seen much Adam Sandler today. So it's quite cool that he's getting mentioned here. 1995. We've got Coming to America, 1988. Big love to all of us for putting so many classics here today. Much older films. That's great. And Step Brothers is his number one. So he's agreeing with Jesse that Step Brothers needs to be included. It's much higher up. And I love the conviction. That's his film. Like Jess's is Girls Trip, but mine is Anchorman. We know what we know, which is awesome. So before I do little breakdowns that have been sent to me, what are your initial thoughts of that, Jess? What do you think?
A lot of different a lot of different variety in his list for sure. Some of them, I'm like you on a couple. I'm like, did I see this one? Did I not see this one? I have to go back and like look at a preview or not. But I think he covers a lot of different styles of comedy in his list.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot. It's a lot of different styles of comedy. Yeah. A lot of them are silly. I think all three of us are a bit silly, which I quite like, you know. Yeah, no, that's good. And I love that. I love that. We're kind of on the same page. But yeah, let's just see what Adam says. Let's get some context here. I've got his downloads in front of me. Oh, so let's have a look. So there's something about Mary, if we didn't know about this already, everyone, is a comedy film released in 1998, directed by the Farley brothers and starring Cameron Diaz, Ben Stiller and Matt Dillon. The movie revolves around the romantic misadventures of Ted, played by Stiller, as he tries to reconnect with his high school crush, Mary, played by Diaz, years after an embarrassing incident at a prom. The film is known for its outrageous humour, memorable characters and iconic scenes. From the infamous hair gel mishap to the memorable rendition of Build Me Up Buttercup, there's something about Mary that delivers laughter from start to finish. Fantastic write-up there, I have to say. And yeah, just touching on that, outrageous. There is too much outrageous stuff in any of these lists, really. So yeah, good shout. Not like, you know, if you're talking about like Jackass, you know, like proper, really in your face stuff. None of us have really gone for that. So I'm finding that interesting too. But so this thing about Mary, have you seen that at all?
I have. It's been a while for sure. But like you were saying, like each of these movies have very iconic scenes that are very memorable. And I just remember feeling so bad for him throughout the whole movie, almost like this poor guy, this guy can't catch a break.
It's interesting. It's kind of cringy. Yeah. You have those characters that are really struggling. It's kind of cringe. Like you feel uncomfortable because you feel bad. It's a very interesting dynamic for a character, isn't it? Because they're like, especially if they're a lead, you're like, oh God. And like, I can't watch. Like I've got to a point now at my age where if I watch something where really embarrassing things are happening to people, I can't do it anymore. I don't know what's happened. Just, it makes me feel uncomfortable. It's interesting. But not then. Then when I was in my 20s, it's all good. Let's do this. So yeah, thank you, Adam. That was a great write-up. Right, Tommy Boy. I hardly know anything about this, to be honest. So I'm really excited to read through this because I deliberately haven't looked. I want to be sold. So Tommy Boy, Tommy Boy is a classic comedy film starring Chris Farley and David Spade, released in 1995. The movie follows the misadventures of Tommy Callahan, played by Farley, and the bumbling yet lovable man-child who must save his family's auto parts business after his father's sudden death. The film is filled with slapstick humour, witty one-liners. Chris Farley's physical comedy and larger-than-life personality shine throughout the movie, while David Spade's dry humour provides the perfect foil. I don't know anything about this. Maybe if I watch the trailer, I probably do, but it sounds great. I don't know anything. Do you know anything about this?
Yes, the movie is so great. I'm trying to think, like, there's a scene, and I'm trying to think, I'm getting the movies mixed up, where he's on a date and the girl is sticking up for him because so many people are making fun of him. And it's just, it's such a great movie because, you know, he like means well and he really tries, but it is like, that was a great description that Adam wrote up about that movie. So I think it's a good classical comedy that anyone can relate to or know somebody who might be, there's always that person, right? But again, he means well and he's trying. So I think it's really great.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out, guys. I promise to go watch the trailer and see what I think. It'd be good to go back and watch some 90s stuff. I haven't done that for a long time. I've been watching all the Star Wars. They were, a lot of those were 90s, weren't they? So I've come back. I say a lot, three of them. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Right, let's check out his number one spot, which was Step Brothers. So Step Brothers is a raucous comedy film released in 2008, starring Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly as two middle-aged men who become stepbrothers when their parents marry. The movie follows Brennan, played by Farrell, and Dale, played by Riley, as they navigate their new living situation and clash with each other in hilarious ways. So yeah, I do remember seeing this. It wouldn't be my top eight, and I can't remember why, but you can't really go wrong with Farrell or John C. Reilly, to be honest, and their chemistry was fantastic. So yeah, what are your thoughts here?
Another great, great movie. I actually rewatched it recently. And a lot of the times I don't catch movies from start to finish, but this one I did. It was like constant repeat, I think, for a few weeks. So just really good. Also a very quotable movie. I'm thinking of their song that they sing on the boat. But I think it's a lot of joy and just laughter throughout different scenes. I can't think of the actor's name right now that plays his brother and how just serious of a character he is in the movie. And it just brings this very unique dynamic to the film. It's a good one. So it's on my list because I've definitely seen it multiple times. And I feel like I laugh every time I see it, as ridiculous as it is.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just thought then about, yeah, if it's silly characters in a silly world, it's different to silly characters in a straight world. If the whole world is really normal and serious and straight and they're silly, that's a whole different dynamic. So I'm sure they must think about this when they make these films, they write the scripts and do the screenplay, because that is actually a big thing. Even something like, if you think about something like Deadpool, his character is in a serious world, so it works better because of that reason. So a little bit of, in my opinion, sort of fascinating movie psychology there, which is great. But yeah, just to wrap up on his list, just a big shout out to Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, because I'm very proud as a Brit that we made such quality comedy like that. So I suggest you guys go and check out the trailers for those two. And very good. Very, very good. So that wraps up today's show, guys, when we dived into the world of comedy and I got emotional, which was really nice. Yeah, I just really, really hope you've enjoyed this. So you've got four lists, A, B, C, and D. Head over to Instagram, look for the poster for this episode. So obviously it's about comedy films and it's episode 39. So yes, look out for those details. And in the comments or DM me, just say A, B, C, or D, and we'll add it to the league standings. And in our next episode, which is our anniversary episode, episode 40, we will dive into those league tables, see who's currently winning and who won what. I'll do loads of other fun stuff, like I'll take Jess for a really cool movie quiz. I'll show you my top eight films I've recently seen, which will be full of Star Wars since I started watching it. And even, well, I'm hoping Jess is going to tell us her sort of top eight latest scenes. So it'll be brand new, fresh content for you to enjoy. It's really, really cool. So go and vote, guys, and also check out for our mostly daily reviews. So me and my dad, who also obviously does lists on the show, we are fully into it now. We've been doing it for weeks. So we both review. I review all the new streaming stuff, mostly. He reviews all the latest cinema stuff. So he's recently done Dune 2. We just put that review out. And I'm about to do something called Puppy Love that was on Amazon Prime. And it was very good. It was dogs and it was a romantic comedy and it was amazing. So go and check out that review. And I'm even reviewing kids' films that I'm watching with my stepson. So you get to see what the latest kids' sort of cinema stuff is right now, so to speak. So go and check it out. Okay, guys, thanks for listening. And we'll be back next time with our anniversary episode. We'll see you there. Send us your top 8 list today to top_8_media. If you find it too hard to create your top 8 of all time, then why not a top 8 from a certain actor, actress, genre, or director? You can even make it more niche. For example, the top 8 films set in space. Your list could inspire, so join the top 8 media contributors today. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.